Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 7, and 2 Kings chapter 2 is going to be the foundation for this new series that I'm starting today called The Double Portion. Called The Double Portion. Tell your neighbor, double portion. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 61 for just a moment, please. Jesus quoted this passage of Scripture when he began his public ministry right after his water baptism. Something spiritually happened to him as God was taking him from one season into the next season of his life and kingdom ministry. And look at this great truth. The Spirit of the Lord God is where? It's upon me. Because the Lord has what? Anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. And then that passage of Scripture goes on and declares this truth to us. You will be called the what? The priest of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you look like a priest or priestess to me. You look like a minister of God to me. God is anointing you for this new season of your life. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you will boast. Now look at this. Say, instead of your shame, you will have a what? Woo! Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to have a double portion. And instead of humiliation, they will shout with joy over their portion. What's their portion now? A double portion, all right? Woo! They're going to shout over their double portion. Therefore, say therefore. They will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. Receive that unto the Lord right now by faith. Amen. Oh my goodness, it gets better. It gets better. 2 Kings chapter 2. In 2 Kings chapter 2, it says, when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, well, let me see here. Let me think a minute. What would I ask? No, he didn't do that at all, did he? Oh, my goodness. Do you think that Elisha knew something in his spirit? I mean, when you are walking by the Spirit, when you are being led by the Spirit, and an opportunity for spiritual favor, when an opportunity for spiritual increase comes your way, you won't have to hesitate. You won't have to think long. You won't have to go into a committee. You just go right into it. I know what I want. And what did Elisha say he wants? Please let a double portion of your spirit be where? Be upon me. Say, in Jesus' name, anoint my pastor to preach today. That we might understand the double portion and receive the double portion you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when Jesus comes forth with his public ministry, leaving one season and entering into a new season, he came forth declaring great truth that he had received the double portion upon him. The Spirit of the Lord God was upon him, and as such, he had anointed him. He had double portioned him to bring good news to the poor. Amen? And let me show you, there's some things that we need to understand about Elisha. When he followed around in the footsteps of Elijah in the school of the prophets, there were 45 other prophets there, and all over the region there were other prophets in the same school of training that he was in. But we're only told that Elisha asked for the double portion. Amen? I wonder if we've got some Elishas here today that would say, I want the double portion that God has for me. Well, in order to do that, there are three or four things that I want to show you, maybe just one or two today. But number one, we need to define the double portion principles. We need to define the double portion principles from the Word of God. I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 21, and we're going to see the first double portion principle here, that if we're going to ask God for something, we need to ask in faith. Because James says that if you double-minded in all of your ways, you're unstable, and don't let that person think they're going to get anything from God. But look at this. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 17, it says, but he shall acknowledge the what? Say, the firstborn must be acknowledged. Oh, my goodness, there's some principles in the firstborn that you need to be reminded of today, that I need to be reminded of today, because you need to be acknowledged today. I need to be acknowledged today. But he shall acknowledge the firstborn. And how does God want the firstborn acknowledged? By giving him a what? Oh, my goodness. Giving him a double portion of what? Say all that he has. Now, who's the he? That's his daddy. Of all that his daddy has, the firstborn is entitled to a double portion of it. Amen? Of all of his wealth, of all of his riches, of all of his blessing, of all of his love, of all of his kindness, of all of his grace, of all of his favor, of all that he has, the firstborn is to be acknowledged with a double portion. Amen? So here's the first principle that I want you to be aware of, and that is the double portion refers to the right of the firstborn. The double portion refers to the right of the firstborn. Now, if something is your right, that means it belongs to you. That means it's due you. That means it is obligated to you. That means it is available to you. Amen? Amen. Oh, my goodness. What if Kroger down here said, I want to tell you, the first ones who come in here, you get a double portion of whatever you buy today. Whatever you buy today, you're going to get a double of that. How many of you would be the first few in line down there to get you a double portion? Amen? Well, look at this. It's the right of the firstborn. Now you say, man, I'm happy for the firstborn. I am so thrilled to the firstborn, but I don't know that I'm the firstborn. Well, I'm not talking about your chronological birth order. I'm talking about your spiritual birth rights. Amen? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. It says, But you have come where? You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. It's talking about people who has come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's talking about people who were once born spiritually dead, but who've been born again and their spirit has been made alive. It's talking about people who have passed from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. It's talking about people who had no future, who had no hope, who've been given a future and a hope because of their relationship with God. But you have come to Mount Zion. Say, I've come to Mount Zion. I've come to the city of the living God. I've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. And I've come to myriads of angels. Now look at this. To the general assembly and what? And the church. Of who? Woo, glory to God. So I am the firstborn. I am the church. And I am the firstborn. And God has given me a right to the double portion that belongs to the firstborn. That's the first thing that I want you to see. It's the right of the firstborn. And praise God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, the right of the firstborn belongs to me because I am enrolled in heaven. I am a citizen of another kingdom. I don't belong to this world. I'm just passing through. But I've got rights as my Father's given. All my daddy has, I have a right to. And all that my daddy gives, I get a double portion of. And I want my double portion today. Oh, hallelujah. Give him praise right now. That's just the first part of the introduction of the first part, all right? So the first principle that we need to understand about going forward in this sermon series is that the double portion refers to the right of the firstborn. And I am God's firstborn. I belong in this inheritance line. Amen? But let me show you something else the double portion does. The double portion is not only the right of the firstborn, but the double portion removes the curse. Removes the curse that is upon our lives. The double portion removes the curse that is upon our lives. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Oh my goodness. Now we've learned in Cleansing Stream that the blessing refers primarily to anything and everything that aligns up with the will of God for my life. A curse is anything and everything that's contradictory to the Word of God and the will of God for my life. And so we've got people that are walking in curses that ought to be walking in blessing. But what God does is God releases the double portion as a right to the firstborn. It's your right. It belongs to you. God said you can have it. God said it's due you. God said it's available for you. And when you get it, when you get the double portion, it's not only your right as the firstborn, but it removes the curse. Now, what curse? If you referred back to the passage that we just read in the opening, your Bible says that instead of your shame, you will have a what? Glory to God. Anybody done anything that you're ashamed of? I'm not asking you to confess to me or anybody else, but I'm talking about those things that you have done. I'm talking about those things that I have done. That when they come back into your mind, it causes your spirit to groan. And I mean, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I chose that. I can't believe I lived there. I can't believe that I wanted that. I can't believe that I allowed that. And I'm telling you, when that happens, then shame just tries to take up residence on you. And when you're not living under the double portion, when you're not living with what God said is your right to have, then you get a double portion of shame on you. Amen. And when you're living in the past, and when you're living on the regrets, when you're living in the memory of what you've done, then you got shame. But I want to tell you, when God releases the double portion on you, instead of your shame, you're going to have a double portion. A double portion of what? A double portion of grace. A double portion of favor. A double portion of mercy. A double portion of power. A double portion of your Father in heaven is coming upon your life. Anybody need a double portion today? Instead of your shame, you'll have a double portion. And instead of what? Humiliation, they will shout with joy over their what? Woo, glory to God. Anybody got a shout in them today? Anybody got a shout in them over what's your right? Say, it's my right to have a double portion. Instead of shame, I'll have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, I will shout with joy over my portion. Therefore, anytime you see therefore, find out what it's there for. Therefore, they will possess a what? A double portion. Oh, my goodness. Can you see the first principles here? It's your right as part of the family of the firstborn to receive God's double portion. When you receive this double portion, it removes the curse from your life. But oh, there's a third. These are just principles. I ain't even got to preaching. These are just the principles right here that the series is going to be based on for you. Amen? And look at this third one now. The double portion not only is the right of the firstborn, the double portion not only removes the curse, but the double portion passes the anointing from one what? To the next. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. There is so much to say right here. You know what our generation is more like than anything else? Our generation is more like Gideon in Judges chapter 6. When God had come to him with a supernatural assignment, Gideon says, "Where are all the miracles that our fathers told us about? If you are really for us and if you're really with us." I don't see the miracles like our fathers talked about. I don't see the miracles like we've heard about. All I am in hearing about miracles. But I want to tell you, when you understand that you're right as a firstborn, when you understand that God's going to remove the curse of humiliation and shame from you as an individual, from the church at large, when you understand that, then God is going to pass the anointing on to you. And when it passes on to you, then it's going to pass on to the next generation. Man, when I see that generation up here getting ready to transition back, I just get Jesus bumps all over me, because God is doing something in the General Assembly. God is doing something in me. God's doing something in you that He wants passed on to the next generation. But do you know the devil wants to pass things on to the next generation? The devil wants to pass shame on to the generation. The devil wants to pass humiliation on to the generation. And if you're walking in shame, if you're walking in humiliation, you're walking on the devil's anointing. But I want to tell you, God wants to give you His anointing, and His anointing will remove that curse of the devil on that generation. Amen? What do you want to pass on to your children? What do you want to pass on to your grandchildren? I don't know about you, but I want to pass on the right of the firstborn, and that is the power of Almighty God. Can somebody say amen for me? Praise the Lord. So those are the three principles that I want you to keep in mind as we are defining these principles. But number two, let's describe the double portion pictures we find in Scripture, okay? There are all kinds of types. There are all kinds of pictures of the double portion in the Scripture. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9, there's two primary personalities that we need to pay attention to here. Your Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, when they had crossed over, you see, they had started in Gilgal. They went through Jericho, and now they had been to Bethel. And now they're at the Jordan, which is a transition. Jordan transitions you from one season to the next season. And Elijah tried every way he could to get Elisha to stay away from what God had in store for him. He gave him every opportunity not to go through the difficulty and the opposition to what he wanted in his life. But Elisha wouldn't have any part of it. Elisha said, I don't care what these other prophets do. I don't care if nobody else goes. I'm going with you until you're taken out of here. And so Elisha went on with him from Gilgal. He went on with him from Jericho. He went on with him from Bethel. And now they've crossed over to Jordan. And when they crossed over the Jordan, Elijah said to Elisha, well, I couldn't deter you from your miracle. I couldn't keep you from the supernatural. I couldn't keep you out of harm's way right here. So ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you. And then who spoke next? Elisha. So we got two people here. We got Elijah and we've got Elisha. You see, Elijah represents a picture or a type of spiritual truth for us. Elijah represents a prophetic picture or type of Christ, who was to come in the future. You see, there are so many things about the Elijah ministry that was a preparation for the coming ministry of Christ in the future. And when you study the Scripture and read the Scripture, there will be spiritual pictures and types that are developing for us. For example, Elijah appears on the scene immediately. And when he appeared on the scene immediately, Elijah had to confront the false prophets of Baal. Well, when Jesus came on the scene immediately, Jesus had to confront the Pharisees of his day, the false prophets of his day. Israel was in a backslidden condition when Elijah showed up on the scene. Israel couldn't discern good from evil and right from wrong. And Elijah had to challenge the false prophets of his day, and he had to challenge them to recognize the God who answers by what? By fire. That we're going to find out once and for all, Elijah said, who is God. And whoever reveals himself as God, who answers by fire, is going to be the God that we serve. But I don't want you sitting on the fence. I don't want you walking in the middle of the road. I want you to get off the fence. I want you to get out of the middle of the road. There's only two things in the middle of the road, yellow stripes and dead animals. I want you to decide once and for all that you're not a yellow stripe and you're not a dead animal, but you are a servant of the Most High God. Amen? And so Elijah says, the God who answers by fire is going to be the one that we serve. Well, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Jesus asked God for the fire to fall on his disciples when he went back up to heaven. And when he went back up to heaven, the fire of God fell, and what was happening? Cloven tongues of fire began to appear on their lips as they were speaking forth the prophetic words and praises of Almighty God. You see, Elijah had to repair the broken down altars. And when Elijah repaired the broken down altars, then he began to saturate the sacrifice with water pots, 12 water pots filled with water. Amen? Amen? Now these water pots represent the washing of the water with the Word. Amen? And this was a prophetic view of Jesus being the sacrifice for our sin. Yes. And the disciples being living sacrifices who've been washed in the water of the Word. Amen? About to be empowered by the fire of God. And what I say today is that if God is God, then let Him anoint us with His Holy Ghost fire. And with the Holy Ghost fire, we're going to prove once and for all who God is. And if God is God, we're going to serve God, but we're going to serve Him with a double portion. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's a picture that we're seeing here with Elijah. Elijah represents a prophetic picture or a spiritual type of Jesus Christ who was to come in the future. Well, what about Elisha? What is Elisha a picture of? Elisha represents a prophetic picture or type of who? The church. The church that was to be ministering on the earth during the what? During the last days. You see, Elijah had to call Elisha to follow him and to serve him. What did Jesus begin to do when he first came on the scene? He began to call people to follow him and be servants of the Most High God. I want to tell you that I am here as a direct response to a call of God on my life. You are here as a result of a call of God upon your life. And there are some of you right now within the sound of my voice that God is calling you from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. And God's calling some of you that's already left the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God into a prophetic ministry. Into a prophetic ministry to where the words of prophecy are being released through you so that you can raise the dead things to life and you can bring glory to God in this perverse generation that we're living in. Amen? Give Him praise and thanksgiving. You see, we're going to learn in this series about the power of the prophetic, because Elisha came on the scene. And with Elisha on the scene, he came forth with a double portion for the prophetic ministry that he had. And oh my goodness, the things that Elisha did, he did far greater than Elijah ever did on the earth. Now Jesus told his disciples that you're going to do greater things than I do. But you know, the church has been trying to do greater things without the greater anointing. And we will not do greater things. We'll occupy till He comes. But He don't want you to occupy. He wants you to thrive. He's not coming back for a church that's just barely holding on. He's not coming back for a church that's just barely limping through. Man, Lord, if You hadn't to come, I don't know what would happen to us. Lord, I don't know what would have happened if You hadn't to come back. No, He's coming back somebody walking in militant steps, taking victory walks in Jesus, taking captives and setting captives free, taking prisoners and setting them free, opening the blind eyes and opening the deaf ears, causing the deaf to be raised, the dead to be raised, and doing miracles on miracles upon miracles. But you're not going to do that in the natural. You're going to have to do that in the supernatural. Amen? And the assignments that we have aren't natural assignments. They are supernatural assignments. Well, we define the double portion principles. Amen? It's the right of the firstborn. It removes the curse, and it represents the passing of the anointing from one generation to the next generation. It passed from Elijah down to Elisha. But also, we describe the double portion pictures. Elijah was a prophetic picture of Christ, and Elisha is a prophetic picture of the church. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the closer we get to the end times, to receiving that double anointing that God has available to us as our right as the firstborn church from the dead. Amen. But look at number three. We have to desire the double portion power. We have to desire the double portion power. That's what happened in 2 Kings chapter 2, 9. Elisha said, ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you. And I mean immediately. It didn't take long for Elisha to think about that. As I said earlier, he didn't have to go into a committee meeting. He didn't have to go in to ask the other prophets, man, what should I ask here for? Oh, my goodness, immediately he understood that what I need is my double portion. What is the double portion? The double portion is power. What is power? It's the presence of God. How many of you have a habit that you hadn't been able to break? I want to tell you, you can go to all the meetings you want to. You can go to all the self-help groups that you want to, and they're all fine. I'm not dissing them. I'm not knocking on them. Everybody needs encouragement from many different sources. But what you really need is the power of God. Amen. What you need is the power of God, because you've got to deal with that addiction. You've got to deal with that worldview. You've got to deal with that mindset. And only the power. We walk in this world, but we don't do war according to this world. The weapons of our warfare are not soulish. They're not carnal. They're not emotional. But they are powerful to the destruction of spiritual forces by the power of God. And so he says, and Elisha said, please, I want the double portion. I want the power that I've seen in you. I want it released on me. What was going on? Elisha had got thirsty following Elijah around. Elisha had gotten hungry following Elijah around. Elijah had done some pretty spectacular and powerful things. Well, Jesus, when he was on the earth, he did some pretty spectacular things. But do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, greater things than these you're going to do when I go to my Father. Now, there's power in that statement, and there's beautiful principles in that picture. In John chapter 7, verse 37, he says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is what? Thirsty. Can you give us the next scripture up there? If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and do what? Oh, my goodness, do you know that this is just another bar? This is just another bar, and it's happy hour. Oh, my goodness, when you come to the bar of Jesus, when you come to the bar of Jesus, it's happy hour every hour, amen? And God wants to give you two for one. Woo, glory to God. I mean, you come in and you can drink this new wine. And you drink this new wine, and God's going to take that shame and he's going to remove it from you. He's going to take that humiliation. He's going to remove it. Why? Because it's happy hour. And everlasting joy is going to be your portion when you enter into that double portion arena. Amen? And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But what was Jesus talking about? Jesus was talking about the who? The Spirit. Amen. Say, he's talking about the Spirit. The double portion's talking about the Spirit. Tell your neighbor, he's talking about the Spirit. But this he spoke of the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. Oh, my goodness. When was Jesus glorified? When he ascended back up to heaven. When he ascended back up to heaven, something happened. Now, think with me the picture that we had a little bit earlier about Elijah. He was a picture of who? Christ. And what was Elisha wanting? He was wanting a double portion anointing. And when Elijah went back up to heaven, Pastor Darrell, you might as well get that out. I'm going to just make you the mantle thrower right here, right under there again. I just need to come in with one of these. This was a mantle, all right? This was a mantle. It was a covering. It was the cloak. When Elisha was serving out in the fields, and Elijah came by, and the prophetic word came to Elijah, and he spoke it, there's my next servant right there. He took his what? He took his mantle, and he threw it on Elisha. And said, I want you to follow me. And man, the mantle became a symbol for the power of God. And when Elijah came to that Jordan, which was an uncrossable river, but it was a transition to the new season that God has for you, what did Elijah take and part that water? He took the mantle and he threw it down. And he split that water right apart and they walked over on that. So what in the world fell down from Elijah when Elisha was keeping his eyes on him and when he was taken up? The mantle fell down on Elisha. Well, when Jesus ascended back up to heaven, he led captivity captive. He spent those 3 days preaching to those spirits in prison. And then all of those Old Testament patriarchs that were ready, that believed and has counted them to righteousness, he led them out of there, right back up that glory train, back up to heaven. And he got up there and he said, Daddy, he said, we made some promises to the church down there, the firstborn, that they could have a double portion. And so it's time to give them what we promised them. We've got some thirsty people down there. I got some thirsty people down there in there, and they're there at the bar, and it's happy hour right now, and they are waiting right there. And so what did Jesus do? He threw his mantle back down. Amen. He threw his mantle back down on the 120, and they got their first portion given to them. Amen? Oh, my goodness. So guess what's happening now? Guess what's happening now? We've got some thirsty people that Jesus is saying, I want to throw my mantle down on them, Daddy. I want to throw my mantle down on them because they're getting thirsty. And they're getting hungry, and we're getting closer to you, sending me back to get them. And the church is going to be operating in the end times is going to be the prophetic church. It's going to be the Elisha generation that has received the double portion. Amen. Give him praise and thanksgiving for the coming double portion. All right. If we're going to do greater works than that Jesus talked about, then we're going to have a desire for that power that it represents. So here's the fourth thing. Say, I'm Pastor, I'm proud of you. You moved through this quickly. Number four. We define the double portion principles. We have described the double portion pictures. We desire the double portion power. But number four, we need to declare the double portion promises. Amen. We need to declare the double portion promises. And that's what God has shown me in my seasons of fasting this year, that it's time to declare the double portion promises to you. Here they are. Now, here's the first. Truly, truly. When Jesus says truly, truly, that means something. You can take it to the bank, all right? It means you can write it down. Tell your neighbor, I can believe this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does what? All right, now it's time for confession time. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Tell your neighbor, I believe in Jesus. So this is true of me. Truly, truly, he who believes in me, the what? The works that I do. What kind of works did Jesus do? Amen? Oh, my goodness. My goodness, Jesus fed the hungry. Amen? Amen. Jesus fed the hungry with miracles, with loaves and fishes. Jesus turned the water into wine. You know, Jesus walked on the water. Amen? Jesus calmed the storms. Jesus opened blind eyes. Jesus opened deaf ears. Jesus made the lame to walk. Jesus raised dead people back to life again. Jesus said, I want to tell you, if you believe in me, then you're going to do these things also. Oh, my goodness, do you believe that? I mean, I didn't make that up. Jesus made that up. Jesus said that. And he says, greater works than these you will do. Why? Why will you be able to do greater works than he does? Because, say because, Jesus went to the Father. Jesus went to the Father. When he went to the Father, he said, I've given them a promise. I've given them a promise. They're going to do greater things than I do, but they can't do it on their own. Amen. We've told them to wait until they get endued with what? You wait in that city until you get endued with power. You don't go out and tell the good news until you get endued with power. You don't go out and try to raise the dead until you get endued with power. You don't go out and try to do miracles until you get endued with power. But when you get endued with power, then these works that I do, you'll be able to do them because I've gone to the Father. Elijah went up to the Father and said, you don't need that mantle anymore, but you got a thirsty boy down there. You got a hungry boy down there. You throw that down on him. And when he threw that down on him, that's what he had, was the symbol of the presence of the power of God. And guess what? Elijah did 7 miracles in his ministry. How many of you think Elisha did? He did 14 recorded miracles in that. He did twice the number that Elijah did. Oh my goodness, Jesus did so many miracles when he was on the face of this earth. John said that if all the books of all the libraries and all the world contained them, there wouldn't be enough to do that. And Jesus said, greater works than these, you're going to do. I'm telling you that it's time for the greater works. I want to be a part of the greater works. I don't want to see a problem say, oh my goodness, what are we going to do about that? I don't want to see a need say, how are we going to meet that need? I want to say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. I want to say, in the name of Jesus, you can have it too. Whatever, say whatever, I ask in Jesus' name, that will be done. So that the Father may be what? Oh my goodness. You see, it's not about your reputation or my reputation. Amen. It's not about your fame or my fame. It's not about your recognition or my recognition. The only reason we want this is so that the Father can be glorified in Jesus. Amen? Amen. So if you ask me anything in my what? What does Jesus say? I will do it. Amen? Now we're talking about folks who walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We're talking about folks who are filled with the Spirit and not with the flesh. Amen. You see, if you're filled with the flesh, or if I'm filled with the flesh, if you're walking in the flesh, or I'm walking in the flesh, you see, the flesh is a body of sin. It's a body of lust. It's a body of evil. It's a body of depravity and death. And you just can't say, I think God wants me to have a jet today. That body of flesh will do that. But if you're walking in the Spirit and God says, I want to give you a jet, then you can have that jet. But what I'm not talking about things that indulge your flesh. I'm not talking about things that will indulge your selfishness or myself. I'm talking about things that will enhance the kingdom. I'm talking about things that enlarge the kingdom. I'm talking about things that will meet people's needs in the name and the power of Jesus that can't be met any other way. That's what Jesus is saying, that you ask what you will because I'm going to give you the desire of my Father. And when you've got the desire of my Father, I want you to believe me for it. Amen. I want you to trust me for it. And I want you to obey me for it. Amen. And look at this, Luke chapter 11, verse 9. So, I say to you, ask and it will what? Say, if I ask in Jesus' name, it will be given to me. Not because my pastor said so, but because Jesus said so. All right, now look at this. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek. And you will find. Oh, my goodness. You see, some of us are at Gilgal right now, and we've got a word of discouragement said, you know, you might ought to stay here. It's going to get complicated if we go any further. Yeah. And some of us trying to decide, do we want to go beyond Gilgal to see where the miracle might take place? Oh, my goodness. But we got to be like Elisha. We got to be so thirsty. He said, I don't want this water here. I want that water that I know is over there. And so we're going to go another step. And some of us, we've gone from Gilgal and we're at Jericho. And man, there's fortified walls in Jericho. There's fortified cities and enemies there. But we're going to be satisfied to stay at Jericho with a miracle we had at Gilgal. But that ain't where the promise is coming from. That ain't where the supernatural is going to unfold. Man, we got to get on and we got to go to Bethel. Man, I like Bethel. Bethel is a beautiful place. Bethel is a spectacular place. I mean, there have been angels at Bethel. There have been dreams at Bethel. There have been visions at Bethel. But I want to tell you, there's something beyond Bethel because Bethel might have been yesterday's season. God's got a new season for you. God's got a new season for me. It's going to take place when you're willing to cross the Jordan, when you're willing to cross the uncrossable river, when you're willing to go on farther than the others are willing to go for. And so God will take a miracle to get you across Jordan, and you'll transition into your new season, and you're going to be seeking for it. Are you seeking for that double portion? The double portion is the power of God. The double portion is the presence of God. The double portion is the provision of God. The double portion is the peace of God. The double portion is God without measure to your needs. Amen? And but you got to ask for it. You got to seek after it. And look at this. You got to knock. Well, nobody there. I'm gone. You know, sometimes we come to a flowing ministry, and you, all right, I'll ask for it. You know, Lord, I'd like that double portion if you got something to give out today. Lord, I'm looking for it, but please hurry. You know, please hurry. I got somewhere I need to be and something I need to do. And Lord, I'm going to knock. All right, it didn't happen, so I'm going on. No.
You
got to ask and you got to keep on asking. You got to seek and you got to keep on seeking. You got to knock and you got to keep on knocking. And it what? It will be opened. It shall be given to you. All right. We got to find out what it is. Amen. Say, I need to know what it is. All right. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your what? Any of you ever had children ask you for something and your first response was no? I thought that was a good parenting skill. If they can be discouraged with no, they didn't want it bad enough anyway. No. But how many of you had a child that come back again and say, I'd like to have that? You know, please, Daddy. You know, sometimes that can get irritating, depending on what they're asking for. If they're asking for something that the answer is no and it's always going to be no and it's never going to be anything other than no, then don't ask me about that anymore. But if it's something that's in my heart to give them, if it's something that's in my heart that's going to make them good, then I want to tell you, the more that they ask, the more that they seek, the more that they knock, the more desperate I see they are, and the more they really want this. Well, you know, the Father says, you know how to do that with your children. Amen. I know how to do that with you. Amen. If you ask me, if you seek me, if you knock, it will be given to you. And look at this. If you as a carnal, as a natural father or mother know how to do that, look at this. How much more will your heavenly Father give who? All right. Now look at this. If you're asking for it, if you're seeking after it, if you're knocking for it, it will be open to you. What's it? The Holy Spirit. You see, when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit in you. Yes. But when it's time for you to get the double portion, it's going to come on you. You see, it's already in you. It's going to come on you. And that which comes on you combines with what's in you. Guess what? It's going to come out of you. Whew. I like that. I'm going to sign my Bible on that, Pastor Darrell. All right. Whenever that which is in you gets double anointed what comes on you, then whatever's in you is going to come out of you, and it's the power of God going to come out of you. And oh my goodness, so what did old Elisha do that first time when he came back? He came back to that uncrossable river. And how did he get across that river to begin with? Man, that might have worked for old Elijah. I asked for a double portion. I wonder if I got it. You see, Elisha didn't have to wonder if he got it. He knew he got it because the man of God said, if you ask for it and you're keeping your eyes on me when I go up,
yes,
you're going to have it.
Amen.
You're going to have it. And you know, as soon as you ask for it, seek for it, and knock, and it's given to you, you're going to come to that first uncrossable river. It might be that river in your mind. It might be that river in your heart.
Right.
And that river in your mind and heart saying, nah, you didn't get it. You didn't get it, so don't even try to utilize it. But oh, Elisha, that thing fell down and said, we don't have a bridge building committee here. And there's more ministry opportunity over there than there is right here. It's just me, myself, and I right here. I tell you what, we're gonna take what Elijah left, and we're just going to throw it down. You know, we need to have a throwdown service. Okay? You need to have a throwdown moment to where you've asked for it, you've sought after it, you've knocked, and it's been opened, and God said it's yours now, then you need to have a throwdown service, and you need to take that mantle that's fallen on you, and you just need to throw it down in your opposition. And for some of you, it will come with your prayer life. You know, if you've asked for it, if you sought after it, and you believe for it, and God said you can have it, but you never even try to talk with it, they ain't throwing down. That ain't throwing down. You'd rather throw up than throw down. Some of you, you're going to come to a ministry need. You're going to come to a ministry need, and it's going to be somebody that needs healing. It's going to be somebody that needs deliverance. And you know, the first thing's going to happen, I got to get him to the pastor. I got to get them to the healing committee. We got to get them to the Ghostbusters. But God said, oh, no. I've given you the double portion.
Amen.
You cast that out in Jesus' name. You ask God to heal that in Jesus' name. And out of your innermost being is going to flow those rivers of living water. Amen? Why? Because the Spirit of God's upon you. Why? Because you will be seen as priest. Because you will be seen as a minister of God. And God has taken your shame. He's taken your humiliation. He's given you the double portion. And greater works than these you're going to do when you're willing to throw it down in the face of the enemy. Amen? You're willing to throw it down in the face of sickness. You're willing to throw it down in the face of the disease. Are you willing to pick it up? And are you willing to throw it down? Amen? You see, we don't need a bunch of trophy walkers. We don't need a bunch of folks that want to parade their trophy around. Oh, I got the anointing. I got the mantle right here. Oh, yes. Ain't that pretty? Does it do you any good? Well, I don't ever use it. I want to impress you with it. Oh, no. You're not going to get that double portion if you want to impress somebody. You're going to get that a double more if you want to minister to somebody. Amen. Anybody need to minister to somebody? Anybody want to be seen as a priest unto God? Anybody want to see as a minister unto God? Anybody want to walk like Jesus walked? Anybody want to do what Jesus did and greater than Jesus did? And I want to tell you, he's got a double portion available for you. Amen? So we declare the double portion promises to you. Can somebody say amen? Here it is in closing. Are you asking for it? Are you seeking it? Are you knocking? It's the right of the firstborn for you to have it. If you've been born again, you are part of the church of the firstborn. And your daddy said you can have it. If you haven't been born again, then God's calling you from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God today. Are you willing to come to the kingdom of God today? If you've come to the kingdom of God, then you've already got the Spirit in you. Now what you're wanting is a Spirit on you. And if you're going to be a part of the greater works than these, then you're going to need a greater power than these. You're going to need the power of God on your life. And when you have the power of God on your life, the natural is going to become supernatural. And the longer you walk in the supernatural, the more natural it will become. Amen? Do you want the supernatural? Do you want the greater works than Jesus? He said you would have them. He said you would use them. But you got to receive that double portion from him. Some of you, you've been hearing about and desiring an ability to communicate with God in a way that he can communicate with you on a supernatural level. If you ask, if you seek, if you knock, it will be given to you. How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ask him for what you want. Believe him for what you ask. And receive by grace and faith for what he said you could have. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info, I-N-F-O, @truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.